When we last left our heroes, we were finishing up Hilchos Borer, Simen Shin Yud Tet, and we had just looked at the If Yud Gimel, right, and discussed the famous school of Chazanish. I think it's where we left off. We're up to the If Yud Dalet. Mutter le'eros b'nacha. This is based on a Furs Gemara. It seems like a big kula from a Furs Gemara. Mutter le'eros b'nacha miklil l'chaver. You can gently pour from one pitcher to another pitcher, one jug to another jug. Bilvad she'zart. What's the case here? You have wine, and in the case of the Gemara is actually beer, right? With sediment. And the whole question is how to get the wine out of the sediment, right? So we know you're not allowed to strain the wine out of the sediment. That's mamash b'nifta d'oraisa. Probably a barakid. So is there anything you do if you want to drink wine without sediments? So it says here, the Gemara says, you can pour gently from one kli to another kli. You can pour from one kli to another, as long as you're careful to stop before it starts dripping, as long as you're pouring straight and it's not dripping, that's fine. You just have to stop before it starts dripping, because then you're getting out the wine from the sediment. But at first, it's mutter. You have to leave the last drips with the sediment. If you keep going till the end, then when it starts dripping out, it's obvious that you're doing borer. And the rabbi even asked, mutter, going back to the ratio, what you're allowed to do, mutter like that when you do the mutter way, pouring out the wine, not drip, which when it pours out, in a flow, you're even allowed to raise the barrel on something to tilt it better, and that's not a problem. Okay, well, or it shouldn't have been a problem. That's not the big kiddush. So what's the kiddush here? There's one kiddush, and then a machlokeh achronim. One second.
What was that
when you're doing what it says in the ratio of the Shulchan Aruch, right? You're allowed to pour out as long as it's flowing and not dripping. You're even allowed to lift the barrel up on something and then tilt it to pour out. Okay, so the chiddush here is that when you start pouring it at first, that is not considered to be an issur of borer. Why is it not borer when you start pouring it first? So the svara is not exactly clear. If you look at the Magen Avraham, quoting the Rana, he says, "Kil shviyotan she'ein, the beginning of your pouring she'ein of soul is nicker, when you can't see the psolis, is not borer." It's not exactly clear. The Mishnah Berurah says something similar. About kil shviyotan, look, not similar, the exact same thing. It's not exactly clear what he means. He says the psolis is not nikar. I think what he means is that if you have again, not that you shook it up, right? That was a special heter of Benagitos, so you're even allowed to shake it up. But normally you don't shake it up. The sediment is at the bottom. If you ever have something with sediment, it's pretty rare nowadays. When I was a kid in shul, the Kiddush grape juice and wine from shul, which they would let sit for like 80 years, always had sediment at the bottom. The sediment is sort of towards the bottom. And it's like, you know what it's like?
Turkish coffee,
exactly. Turkish coffee. I was trying to remember how to say it in English. I don't know if everyone ever said Turkish coffee. It's for like real Israelis. And then like real Israelis. Not like, you know, Israelis who are like lawyers and like all eight of their great grandparents are Ashkenazim. But Turkish coffee means not like, what do we do with coffee? If you're doing instant coffee, that's instant coffee. That's a different part. You're not putting in the actual pieces of coffee. Right? Or if you use actual piece of coffee, you filter it. So one way or another, you pour it through a filter, use it through a machine that has a pod that is a filter. Somehow it's filtered. What's the cup of filtering? So you don't get the actual piece of coffee in your coffee. What's Turkish coffee? Turkish coffee is a real Israel, like in the army. That's what you have to drink, or else you're not a gavra. You have like finely ground, it doesn't have to be finely ground even. You have the coffee grounds, you just make them the coffee grounds. And you let it sit, and the coffee grounds go down, and you drink it. And you get, you don't like mix it up and drink it and get tons of coffee grounds in your mouth. But you drink it, you get a few coffee grounds, that proves that you're a gavra, that you can handle it, and the coffee grounds stay at the bottom. That is both. So
That's very parallel to what we're doing. What do? They basically drink from the top, and they don't get grounds, the same as this guy pouring whatever. Now, the what's that? That at first, when the soul is not nicker, when you first drink your Turkish coffee, you don't even know it's necessarily is Turkish coffee, right? Then eventually you learn the hard way afterward. Once I had Arab workers at my house, and they're like, even more so than Israeli. Like, I tried to give them coffee without grounds, and they like wouldn't drink it. It's not like proper coffee, it doesn't have the grounds, but they only drink it. They might have the coffee grounds to leave at the bottom. Okay, that's the old-fashioned way of doing things. So what's top? Lahara, what he means is when you're pouring from on top, that's not considered a tarubis. I think that's what he means that it's not bogar, meaning the coffee on top is not mixed with the grounds. Only the coffee on the bottom is mixed with the ground. And how do you know where to draw the line? Like, we wouldn't have ourselves known where to draw the line. You draw a line when it's dripping instead of flowing out smoothly. If it flows out smoothly with the ground, that's fine. Then you're not accomplishing anything, right? The assumption is you don't want the sediment. Right? If you can flow out from on top of the sediment, that's not considered gore. That wasn't really mixed. Once it trickles out from the sediment, that's already what's mixed inside the sediment. So sort of the wine at the bottom is mixed with the sediment. The wine at the top is not mixed with the sediment. Therefore, you're allowed to pour it from the top, just not from the bottom. And this is halacha l'maisa. It could affect some things. Maybe we'll mention some examples in a second. So one second, Leo. Back to the Chazan issued teapot cooler. Remember, the Chazan had this famous cool on teapots, which you didn't totally explain why, which we had some theories why we'll mention again. Those who are machmir against the Chazan issued cooler say it doesn't mean that you have a teapot. Remember, there's old fashioned teapot with just loose tea leaves in them. Apparently, that's also considered very very fancy. That instead of tea bags, you actually like very fancy. Instead of buying tea bags, you buy like a canister with tea. And you make it just like you would if you bought ground coffee. I have a friend who owns a very fancy tea company. It says that's like the schmick. So in the old days, that's what everyone used to do before they had tea bags. So Chazit says it's mostly to pour through the strainer in that teapot. So the strainer is just in the teapot. But even if you don't, if those who don't rely on the head of the Chazit say, you're still allowed to pour most of the tea out of the teapot. Because most of the tea is unless you shake up the teapot. If you shake it off, let it sit for a minute. If the teapot is sat for a few minutes, you're allowed to pour most of the tea. The only thing you need, the cool chazan ish, is to pour at the end of the tea. The beginning of the tea is no problem whatsoever, because that's not really a tarubis in the first place. Nirulim yisaiti as well. Let's say you open a tuna fish can on Shabbos, right? So in the tuna fish can, no one likes the water or oil from the tuna fish can, to the best of my knowledge. I've never seen anyone actually eat the tuna fish with the oil or the water. So can you pour the oil or water out of the tuna fish can? So it seems to be posture that you can. That's not mixed in. That's gonna that's not like dripping out, whatever. That's even better than this. It's like one chunk of tuna. I know it's not technically one chunk of tuna, but it's like squished together one chunk of tuna with like water around it. So to me, it's possible that you can pour out the water. That's not mixed at all. That's probably even better in this case. Because only one piece of tuna, I have to say, is one piece of tuna is mixed in with everything. But even then, what poured out smoothly immediately should not be a problem of boer like this hector of the if you doubt it.
Ramon thinks it's often mixed down the fact that it's small things.
What's us, sir?
To pour out the oil or water from the tuna.
What? What page? What page? What page?
In the Meraki pages,
I'm trying to find the tuna.
Which of the tuna?
There is?
The picture of tuna can.
Whoa.
It's also page 569.
569 is the Meraki pages?
No.
It's not there.
Here's the tuna fish can, sorry.
Okay.
569.
Is it taro?
Oh, yeah.
Patichos ketanot.
So first of all, is this true that is this what it looks like when you open a tuna fish can?
Yeah.
Whenever I open it, it's like one big piece.
Maybe it's the difference.
Maybe it's the difference between the oil and the water types.
A flaky versus like it has a big chunk.
Okay, so
I guess it depends on the brand.
That's interesting. So what's he saying? If it's one big piece of tuna, then it's not really tarobet. But what if it looks like this? This picture just shows tuna broken into like a million chunks. If it's broken into a million chunks, sorry, I didn't know some tuna came this way. Thank you for correcting me. Okay, thank you, Ramon. I don't know why I'm gonna go home and open some tuna and double check. Maybe depends on the brand. Anyway, what if your tuna is one big piece? He said, that's not really a tarobet. That's not like $50 at all. It's just one piece with the water in it. How can you call it mix? One big piece. You don't like moisture. But what if it's a lot of small pieces? So if it's a lot of small pieces, I think you might be more there that if you pour out the oil lid on the top, that might be butter. Like not strain it with the lid. You just pour out the oil from the top that flows nicely, that might be butter, and that would be the head of $50. But he thinks so many little pieces that's not going to get you far.
And that's all in one soup, right? I mean, that's...
But I think you would still admit that, you know, if there's some oil on top, you know, as it usually is, like the heavy parts go down, the light parts, if there's some oil on top, you can pour that off as long as you're not pouring the oil that's in between the little pieces. But you're right, that wouldn't be such a perfect solution. Okay, let's just compromise. Whatever your tuna looks like, you could pour off the oil that is on top or on the side and not in between the pieces of the tuna. Okay, Leo had his hand up for a while.
Was Rebbe's explanation of not being a tarobes, is that explaining the Mishnah Berurah's low nicker? And is that also
the same thing
as what the Chazanish was saying earlier about not being a tarobes by...
I think so. That's what I think. Yes, I can't prove that I'm right, but that's what I think.
If a lot of it's in the small case and a lot of the small pieces of tuna come out, so when you strain and tune with the small pieces, a lot of the small pieces of tuna come out of the oil.
You're talking about straining. Here, you're not talking about straining with the strainer, you're talking about pouring it over.
I think you pour out a lot and a lot of the small pieces of tuna come with it.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, if you're willing to sacrifice your tuna. Okay. What else comes up here? The big machlokas in Sif Tetva. They ask the following question, which is, why? Yes.
Can you do it without risking the tuna? Like, can you only open the corner and pour it out, or is that totally not allowed?
So give me a second, and I'll come back to that. Okay. I mean, the answer to me, I think it could be a problem. But let's come back. Let's take it step by step. Okay. Ask the Magen Avraham here. And make the Mishnah Berurah. He says, hold on a second. Why is there an Isser of Borer even if you drip it out? Like, why is that a problem of Borer? Right? You're taking Ochel out of the Psoles. You're dripping the wine that you want out of, or beer, in the original case of Mara, out of the sediment that you don't want. So here, the Magen Avraham has two answers. He has a Havamina and a Machkana. The Havamina, the Magen Avraham, which is accepted by the Chai Adam, but no one else. I think the Mishnah Berurah even says someplace here is the Chai Adam, but everyone else disagrees. And the Havamina, the Magen Avraham, is because it's more of a clique. That's why, meaning, what are we talking about? We're talking about the wine of the sediment, right? $50. So the liquid on top is just mukka together borer. It's just not borer, right? So we don't worry about all these details. How about the liquid down in the sediment? That's not mukka from borer, that's liquid of sediment. That's like classic Yadomer, right? So, but why isn't there a heter? So here, there's two dales. Says the Magen Avraham in the Havamina, Osir Mishum Borer, let's say better. Hashim Kiborer Bikli. It's more of a Kli because you're using the container for it.
and to get the liquid out and the sediment in. You know how if you angle it just right, you can get the liquid to trickle out and the sediment to stay in. Says Borer B'Klee. However, his maskana is that it's kosher kiborer b'gad. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is in the havmina, it's kosher perfectly, author afilu le'alter. And then the safe of this maskana says author is drip, 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 trickle, would be even le'alter. But his maskana is no, this is considered b'gad. Why? You're using a plea? No, but you're really doing the prayer of b'gad, meaning the actual kli doesn't separate the wine from the sediment. It's just your tilting it beyond the exact right angle to get the wine out of the sediment. And the kli is not really, you can also hold the sediment and get it to, right? This is the makar of, and it wasn't remote to everyone else's kumbra, that, oh, but you use a fork and a knife, even though the kli is not considered a kli, it's considered beyond. Well, that's the makar of the makar. It's considered beyond. And therefore, it's after la'akar's man. But mutter le'alter, that is the fact of the Magna Rav, that you can even get out the trickle and be borer legamre as long as le'alter, because that's considered beyond. He's making two assumptions, of course. What are his two assumptions? His two assumptions are, which both come into the Mishnah Brura in Sifkatan Nunhev, except he just starts with the Matkana of the Magna Rav. He points out in the footnote, Sharet Zion Mem Dalet, like the husband of the Magna Rav. The Kaye Adam says is a stolen plea. Why? Because, like, the liquid is, like, very thin, can make it over the lip of the plea when you tilt it, and the sediment is thicker. Again, so it's like it's kind of a stringer. A very, very basic string. But the Mishnah points out all the Afronim disagree, including the Magna Rav himself. All the Afronim disagree. We pass in this is called Yad, and here we see that it's not so much of what's called Yad. This is called Yad because it's really your Yad that's seeing it. Just like, you know, when I feel with a knife. Oh, the knife can feel up here. It's my Yad aiming the knife. Like right here, it's my Yad aiming exactly like hold it in there, but that's called the Yad. And that's how we Paskin says the Mishmura. If you're doing it la'alter, then you can even let it trickle and drip. So for example, back to the, we haven't quite finished yet. Back to the tuna. Let's say I'm very, very dexterous. And I can tilt the tuna can just right so that what comes out of the tuna stays in. Even if I'm trickling and dripping, doing drip by drag, drip, etc., that's okay if I'm going to eat it loud or if I'm preparing for this meal. Because when the Mishnah Brura and the Mishnah Brura happened in Gedalet to trickle, that was only for later. Of course, the Magna Brura makes another assumption as well. What's the other assumption, which is a little controversial because there may be a Shulchan Aruch around who disagrees, or at least partially disagrees. But the Mishnah Brura agrees with this. What's the other assumption? He's really meaning two assumptions, right? Really, we pass in, and this is the, you know, Maskana Magna Brura, which becomes the Mishnah Brura. Two, I mean assumption like unwarranted assumption. I'm just meaning, you know, facts. Number one, that tilting a utensil is called Yad, not Kli. The other assumption is, because remember, we need three conditions to master motor. It has to be Lazar, the quality of the Lazar. Has to be the Yad, and it has to be, oh, no, solid. We're assuming that tilting the wine out of the sediment is called ultimately solid. Meaning, what comes out, that when we pour a liquid out of a solid, then we don't say, I'm keeping something in my hand and I'm keeping solid from the okel. Rather, we say, I'm straining out the okel from the solid. Meaning that when we pour it out of Y, that's called Lekitas X. We took Y, which is why is that not the pasuk? So on the one hand, the one is what's flowing out, so that's what's coming out. On the other hand, the sediment is what I'm keeping in my hand. So maybe that's what I'm taking. Am I taking what I keep in my hand, or am I taking what I'm pouring out? That's not so pasuk. There's a shulchan aruch Rav who says at least in the cooler direction. It's not clear if people turn in the cooler direction. No, what I'm keeping in my hand is considered what I'm okay. Your lokeach is in your hand, not in your hand. So no, your lokeach is what you're pouring out.
And therefore, I have to take back my previous statement,
which is exactly what the Magen Avraham Mishnah thing is saying. You can't pour out what you don't want from what you do want. Right? That's what the Magen Avraham continues to say. Right, I'm not talking about the liquid on top. I'm talking about what's mixed inside. And that's what he says. Says the Mishnah, but also the Hashuma in a rotev. Why? If you're pouring out, even though you're doing it, it's considered to be biyad. Nonetheless, you're pouring off. You know, sometimes you're pouring off a layer of oil, right? Oil and water, the oil goes on top. Pouring off a layer of oil from the water? No, you can't do that because you don't want to get rid of the water. You want to keep the water. So then you're pouring off what you don't want from what you don't want. Your tune is there. But it means that, what it means is that the heter is good for wine with sediment, but not for a tuna can. Because in a tuna can, you're pouring off what you don't want from what you do want. And that's exactly what the Mishnah says. This heter, that pouring off, is mutter. Again, if you're pouring off water, you're not mixed with halal. So that is, if you're pouring off, it's not mixed with halal. So that's a different story, right? Let's say I open a can of corn and there's, I want to get rid of all the water, right? So I, you know, but on top, it's just water. Like the corn sunk to the bottom a little. So I pour water on top, that's no problem. That the liquid on top. But let's say I want to pour up the rest of it. So I can't use the heter of the Magen Avraham, because the heter of the Magen Avraham is only when I pour off what I do want from what I don't want. So that's open to fullness. If I'm pouring off what I don't want from what I do want, then the heter does not apply, and then can't use this heter. So for example, I open a can of corn, I pour the water on top. Then there's a lot of water mixed in with the corn. Then I can't pour that out, even the outer, even though we consider beyond, and that's called taking the psolas out of the okal.
Very consider the tuna or the water into tuna or water into corn one min to see if the corn is getting
water into the corn. So there is a, this must look to the Shita Tashabat. Say, what we have on the shelf, Shita Tashabat, the 20th century safer of the Shabbat. He writes that anytime you cook like liquid and solid together, it's considered one min, and if you would eat it that way, then you're allowed to strain it just like water with small impurities. So that would be kind of for everything. Right? Well, you need to chill it with the liquid and the solid together. Hopefully, you eat with the liquid and solid together, so you can strain whatever you want because it's just straining out things that you would eat anyway. However, the Shmirat Shabbos goes to full of zalman, a thing that's not true. That's considered two minim. That's not an impurity, that's two ingredients. In food, when you make two ingredients in food, that's considered two minyan, and therefore all the poskim, or at least most poskim, reject the Shmirat Shabbos, say that's considered two minyan, and therefore that heter is not going to help.
You mean water and tuna, tuna?
What?
You mean water and tuna?
Yeah, there was the water and there was the tuna. There are two things. You put the tuna in the water, or in the oil, right? And then you cook this. The fact that you cook it together doesn't make it one thing. Against the Shisa Shabbos.
Are there poskim or makor that Eino Nikar only applies to vast quantities of liquid and small amounts of psoas, being like wine in a huge barrel of sediment, or is it only because then it was mocked?
I don't know. They don't start to build a limit of how much sediment there is.
Like corn and water seems like a parasite.
Well, but on top, there's water without corn, no? Right? You're saying maybe there's not, and maybe you're saying see it. There's not so much water on top.
Or it's row corn.
Yeah, I don't know that would be. I think it's so far out of the water. Let me cite you. Okay. What else did I want to discuss there? Okay. This, I want to discuss a few things here. Yes.
In wine jugs where there's no like real lip, then they tend to make DBI. And two again, open it, has like a very clear lip that would prevent a lot of small things from falling out. So even there, before the lid would bleed.
I do it a tiny bit, but I still think so. I still think it would be full beyond.
Okay, but where do you draw the line? So this is the big mouth focus. What about the classic question? What about if I take a pot and I strain by putting the pot cover on the pot and leaving a little hole and then pouring out the liquid? Is that considered yad or kli? If I like, you know what I mean, right? Is that happy?
Yeah, no. Okay, so all right, just be careful with that.
Is this open?
Yeah.
Okay, what do? I go like this. I cover it almost all totally with we've all done this with pot. And then I pour and it's strained because I only left a little hole. So is that also in the heter that is considered yad, or is that considered kli? The everyone I've seen offers that the Shabbos Kol Chatzos says no, that's considered kli. Which makes sense. That's really clean. It's just making a strainer by making a tiny hole that the liquid comes out on the solid dough. So that's pashtut. That's what he says right here. And you're not allowed to put the pot cover on. You're not allowed to put the pot cover on because that's considered a kli. Not to mention the fact that maybe there's other reasons. I remember Moshe also, he was asked about this in the short shuvot, the first one, he said, no, that's for sure upper, that's considered a kli. He said, it might be mutter if you take out, not exactly what he said, things that, you know, I don't fully understand, but I think he's trying to say, if you take out the soles of the okal, that might be different, okal and soles, that's a different answer. But there's no head to the strain, whether you want the soup or you want the salad. Either way, that's considered a clean, it's a problem. So that's partially considered a clean. Let me just point out one more thing. What about the things people do sometimes? You're taking out of your soup with a ladle, and what do? So if I take out the soup with a ladle, I want more solid liquids, et cetera. So I'm taking out the soup with a ladle, and I tilt the ladle a little to get rid of some liquid. That's fine. If it's just a liquid on top, that's a punchet hatcher, right? And if it's the liquid that's mamish inside all the solids and ladle, and depends on it. Okay, what do people do sometimes? They put the ladle and they put it next to the side of the pot and use that to strain. So is that considered, you put the ladle next to the side of the pot, is that considered kli? Or is that considered yad? That's also a big machloket in the... there's only one day in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chatzah, but he brings down 2 days about this in the give me a second here. Let me just find it. How did I lose it? Here we are. What if you put the ladle against the side of the pot? So some people say that's like Brer Vikli, and some people say that's like Brer Yadi. Quotes the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chatzah. Kodem Shlomo Zalman says it is considered Brer Vikli, but he thinks that it is, or he heard from Shmuel Orbach. They also quote this from Rebbe Yosha. Okay, he doesn't quote it here, but they in this they bring home Shabbos Shabbato. Help out the Shabbos rabbi, quote the rule. Yachim, he goes to the soul, or about that's considered beyond. So, again, if you're just pouring out of the pot or out of whatever, that's for sure considered yad. If you're using a pot cover to leave a little hole, that's for sure considered clean. If you're putting the ladle up against the side of the pot and straining that way, then that's a machloka. The Kir Shabbos says that's considered clean. The rule Yachim is quoted as the soul, or about that's quoted in the or a shot thing that's considered yad, and therefore that would be a machloket. Again, let's say you're eating everything milder, right? You're just serving one kid, this part, and one kid, that. So you're eating the whole bottle of milder. So it's no problem. It's always milder. It's always milder, and it's all over. You can eat it all now. So you know it's your whole solar. Nonetheless, that's considered clean. Lamaita. Let's say we're eating all the soup now.
This kid is not the one for us.
Yeah, but I think the assumption is that that's still considered. It's a good question. He's assuming that's still considered ochel and ochel. If it's two minim and you want them both next, just one and one minute, one and a minute and a half, that's still considered ochel and ochel. And then it wouldn't bother him.
So why wouldn't we say that for all the, can we say that for the other things that we said previously, like green versus red apple or whatever, all these things that we've got both right now?
No, you're eating both now. The assumption is that you're not interested. But in any case, the lamaita, it would be proper to be machmir that maybe putting the ladle against the side of the pot could be a special plea, and therefore just put it in the gamrei. Of course, if you're just doing it to get out the broth that's on top, that's no problem. Because that you can do whatever you want. The only shayla would come up if you were getting out the broth that's like in the bit. But either way, you can do whatever you want to get out the broth on top of the you can do anything on the other broth on top of the ladle that flows very easily, that's not really mixed with everything else. Only once you're getting out the broth that's mamish, needs to be strained out of the vegetable from the ladle, then you get a tie, let them horror, we should be mockered, and like the trained optical process, they consider that a clean.
That tether of in the pot, right now, why also been bowled at the table? Because even separating the transfer around the table is all ochel right now. I mean, two bowls, your food is still up for one person in this case, and then you go bowl, but it's all being eaten right now. Before it wasn't saying that they're black.
But my head are pulling my head will in both ochel, it's still only do biyad, not the kli. Because remember, we had the Rambam who said two minim is utter. If you don't have the other conditions of yad and la'alter.
Let's say I have an edible and I eat food and I train more than this pot layer off. Before it wasn't that the table even too bold.
Yes, that would. But not a spoon against the side of something, just the spoon itself and a chanam.
Two questions. One, when you're straining with the pot cover, could you make an argument that just like an extension of your hand, you just don't want to make your hand dirty?
You could. I mean, look, it's a question of where to draw the line. So it's obviously more like a string. You're making a small hole where certain things fit out of it, other things don't fit out, right? Much more string.
Yeah, but that's clearly not used. You're just using it that way because you don't want
to. You're right. That's like the question. But I could have seen it a different way. It resonates with the post door marker, even though I would not necessarily have known it 100%.
And the second question, theoretically, practically, if in the ladle when you pick it up, you realize, but when you pick it up, you realize like there's a piece of zucchini like in your ladle. So how should you
you pick up the ladle, you see the zucchini in the ladle, and you hate zucchini. What should you do?
Yeah.
What should you do? So, l'chora, if there's one piece of zucchini in the ladle, that should be like the flying the soup. Pour it out with some soup. And then it's no problem. The zucchini is just one piece. One piece of zucchini floating really tarobet. Of course, it's a tarobet of the soup that's right next to it. So if you pour it out with some soup, it's okay. But you can't just take the zucchini out of your soup. Meaning what you can't do is take the zucchini out of the ladle with a fork and put it back in the soup pot. Of course, what you could do is put the whole thing back and try again. Either to pour out the soup, so put the whole thing in part, try again, or take the zucchini out with a fork and put it in someone else's bowl. Because then you're giving to them to eat right away. Then it's not even when you want it, they want it. So then it's not solace.
Everybody said it's here to put it back on the fork. That's just, it's all open. I mean, somebody else is going to eat it. It's the same thing. So why are we so careful? Just put it, you can put it back in. Somebody else is going to eat it. It's like separating you.
Right. But I've been logged off because someone's going to eat the whole soup pot right now. So that's why I was not necessarily quiet.
So even in the case before that, there's an
Correct. Only if you had a case where you were sure that someone's going to eat it now. But usually, right, usually people don't eat the whole thing. So you kind of eat it now.
Yes. Absolutely.
Good point. Good point. Very good point. Okay, I want to mention one or two other things before we get to some of the other things. What's similar to this? The whole question of tea bag. What's up with tea bags? Tea bags and a lot of food seems somewhat relevant to this, right? What's better than a tea bag, right? Can you take your tea bag out of your tea on Shabbos? Again, we're not getting specifically. Let's assume you hold it mother for most of my theme. You hold it mother to make tea on Shabbos, not a Shabbos traditional one, right? Or whatever, you know, you're using scents that you made before Shabbos and have the tea bag there. Can you take the tea bag out of your tea on Shabbos? So here, Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos Kolkata, which is the tea bag. I hope I wrote it down. One second. Did I write it down? Right. Where is the tea bag? Should be here. Here, sorry. It Perik Gimel. Again, it's all Perik Gimel. Halakha Tamach Dalet. So he, okay, besides the fact that he doesn't love the heter main tea. But then he says, well, let me made him what it's not yet, so let us talk. Okay, so no special or whatever the case is. So he says, but that's not our issue. Now, Gimel Samach Dalet. Gimel Samach Dalet, he quotes in the footnote, he wonders, is it a problem of borer? What's the borer? Taking the tea bag out of your cup is not borer. Why? Tea bag is a big, visible thing that you can't really say mixed in your cup. Taking the tea bag out of the cup is not borer. That's like taking a spoon out of the cup. That's not borer, because the spoon is not getting more of the cup. It's a big thing. You know, if you would have, I don't know, a piece of, I don't know what you're doing with tea bag. You dropped into your tea bag some piece of food this big. You can take it out. That's like a bit of borer. It's not really tarot. It's too big. The problem is not taking the tea bag out of the tea. The problem is that when you take the tea bag out of your teacup, inside the tea bag is tea leaves and water, or rather liquid tea. And the liquid tea streams out of the tea bag back into your cup. So what does Peter Shabbos say? He says, you know what? The best thing would be, and this is what the Machmir, many Machmirim do, to take the tea bag out of your teacup with a spoon. Why? If you take the tea bag out with a spoon, then you're taking it out with some liquid. Any liquid that is in that tea bag just stays in that spoon you're filling with garbage. And you're not getting any liquid out of the tea bag into your cup. As opposed to if you pick it up by the string, then after you pick it up, a little bit's left to drip back into your cup. So basically, there are three ways you can take the tea bag. The best way, the most common way, the most mahajan way is take it out with a spoon, and then you have no problem. That's because nachon, the best thing is take it out with a spoon. So that way you don't have anything dripping out of the tea bag, which is not the borer. However, the footnote he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, what? The shot is that, think about it, the tea bag is a strainer, right?
Yeah, it's
clean. Yeah, it's a strainer of the tea bag. So when the tea bag has leaves and liquid tea, the liquid tea is coming out and straining out of the leaves. That's like modern straining. That's like an avalakha marakid. First of all, it doesn't strain into the spoon because like the pressure of the gravity doesn't let it. And even if it does strain into the spoon, since that's clearly all going in the garbage, so you're not going to say that's over. Because modern constrainer. The tea bag constrainer, right? It's a cloth to hold it. However, in the foot of the shoulder Zalman, who says that really it's mutter to take it out quickly even without a spoon. Really, it's just not homer to take it out with a spoon. Make it again, you're allowed to take it out quickly without a spoon. Why? So he says there's many sudden lahakel. What are the many sudden lahakel? Number one, the heter and the chazan ish by teapot. Now, what's the heter and the chazan by teapot? It's not clear this is exactly the same, but the way Rav Shlomo Zalman understood, if there's a heter that a kli that's only used for immediate use is not considered a kli, tea bags are only used for mild use. The tea bags are only used for laughter. You never drip out of the tea bag for eating later, drinking later. The tea bags are only used for laughter, and maybe that's not going to replace the biyad, and then biyad also don't go to laughter. So what are the many subtle? We'll have to look again. There's three madrigos. What are the three madrigos of tea bag? I just summarized here. Pouring, we consider the yad again the high adam. Put it in the charts and you can look it up. What about making a hole between the lid and the pot? That's considered clean. What about holding the ladle against the side of the pot? That is a machloke, said the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, the Shem, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach. That's considered kli, says Rebbe Yochid. And Shmuel Orbach in the, never that, so Orbach. It's considered yad, and the chor, we should be machir. Let's go to teabag. Right? So the most mahogar is to remove with a spoon, then that's fine. But really, the mutter, what would be mutter? To remove quickly, like the normal way. Meaning not to hold it and like let it drip. Just remove it quickly. Now, when you remove it quickly, are a drop or two can drip? Naturally, it's trying to do normal purpose. What are the sudden lip, Hakel here? Number one, maybe it's like a delicious teapot, because a tea bag is used for immediate use. It's for immediate use. Maybe it's like the teapot, Aliba, the Kavanish.
This would require quickly. That's just down ahead there.
Correct. Number two, he says there it disappears multiple places. Remember that if you can put karshinon in the basket, even though it gets a little strained. Meaning accidental borer, as the incidental borer, maybe is mutter. Right? You can put the karshinon in the basket, even though it gets a little strained. What does the Biur Halacha say? The Biur Halacha says that.
Yeah, we have more of a separation now.
That it says the Biur Halacha on chet. Where's my Biur? Says the Biur Halacha on chet. Give me a second. What did he say here? He said, Rashi says it is. Sorry, Lashon Rashi was that? No, sorry, next one. Yeah. That Rashi says that it's only mutter is darshin mitkaving, but the Ram said, even though it's a gracious author. And inside, the Lashon of the Mechaber and the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah seems to be even segresha. Maybe it's a segresha of a borer that happened, like maybe like just transport and faith is not author. So it's like transporting karshinen bikbara. That if you're not trying to bikbara, just when Mela happens and you're transporting something, maybe that is not a problem. Not to mention the fact he says here, in the end here, maybe it's not called borer, etc. Okay, those are two big. Sudden hakel, you can also say the separation of Nicolay, like the Nicolay have like one or two drops. And that's also big, you know, like maybe technically, but no one thinks about it. Or maybe the first two drops that come out weren't really mixed. Although that's a bit of a hassle, but these are two big kulas, you know. However, in this form, that's really enough that you can be matur. So most people who are not matur and don't use a spoon and just take it out, that's okay. The more controversial case is, what if some people, they take it out and they wait for it all to drip? They don't want to waste any, maybe they can shake a little. They wait for it all to drip. What about taking it out and waiting for it all to drip? That, it's not like the karchina. That's the kavona doing poker, right? You're kavona straining it. You're trying to strain some liquid out of a solid suspension of some sort. So what about if you remove normally and wait for the drips, That is not proper. You can't say it's up there for sure. You still have one pot of the hot dog. Maybe it's like the teapot of the Chazanish. Maybe it's like the teapot of the Chazanish. But it's not even clear it's as good as the teapot of the Chazanish. The teapot of the Chazanish, maybe part of the whole problem is. But if you say that it's the ikker of the teapot and the strain is just a small part of it, you know, and also you say, like, you're not fighting the strain, you're fighting the pour. Like, the ikker is doing something else, the pour is more incidental. You hold it for it to drip, then it's not so popular, right? So, in this case, you say that, you know, that it's the, you know, quite possibly ulcer. And we shouldn't do it, even though you have one tub of hot gel, which is maybe like the teapot. I'll leave a bit of an ish, but it's not so popular. If you say the head of the teapot is because the only maple alder, any maple alder is not considered a flea over here, it's not a flea. But if the head of the teapot is no, because the ickers for something else, and it just has a five function braver. Here, the tea bag, the ichor separates the tea leaves from the water. And if then you're trying to separate things. That's the only thing you're doing when you're holding up and letting it drip. So that's not so popular. It's not just incidental to a different mindset, and therefore you call it a yad. Over here, it's more of a three. Tea bag makes a strain. So therefore, not so popular, and therefore one can really, I'm not saying you can't have legal scotch, you have legal scotch, but really the ichor thing you should not let it drip. The ikker, then you can take it out thumb, even if it happens to drip a little. Although the most bizarre way is to take it out with a spoon, and that way you avoid old shite. But ikker, then if you don't want to be out here, you can take it out normal.
What about removing the teabag and like sucking on the last, the dripping drops from it?
Oh, what about sucking the teabag?
Like hang out quickly and then suck it up.
Oh, if you suck the teabag, that's okay. So you assume that your mouth is okay, that we'll see later on, soon. Okay. This also is very similar to sucking with spotted food. Right, there is like one weird data out there that says that like a plotted plume is not a plea, but that's not so positive. What about a plotted plume? So can you use a plotted plume to serve things that have liquid? Obviously, you can use a plotted spoon to serve solid things, right?
Yeah, a little.
That's what we do in my house. You know, no one ever has enough serving pieces for our contemporary child skills. We serve like 20 things. So what do? I first take all the slotted spoons and put them in like things that have no liquid whatsoever. Just make sure not to dump any mix all. You know, I put the things like the roots and vegetables, there's nothing in there. And then the normal spoons I can put in things that are chopped and butter. But what if there's a slotted spoon in coleslaw or in watery chillins or a million things? Can you use a slotted spoon? So a slotted spoon. Simple shot is a slotted spoon is a kind of pitcher, right? I mean, why do they put those holes in the spoon? It's a strainer. It's made to strain solids and liquids, et cetera. Simple shot is that that photo clean, and that should be author legamre. That's the concept of the author legamre. Okay, exactly like the chief machat, which I didn't know the pro, sorry, I only mentioned exactly mentioned it. Who says that, no, well, if you cook the dish together and you could eat it with the liquid, then it's like straining something unnecessarily and it's totally mother, it's not a total magic gummer. But we don't normally assume like that. We're full of Zalman and footnotes and Pierce Java says that's not true. That's what would kill you hardly visible impurities. You would drink it anyway, then you ignore them. But if you have like two ingredients, one liquid, one solid, then that's two things, it's definitely borer to strain them. So therefore, borer to the same thing, hopefully, right? In the liquid or whatever. Or cholent, yes, very liquidy cholent, you have a slotted spoon. Then borer to separate the solid from the liquid. And even if it's ba'alter, even if you're taking out from the solet, it doesn't matter because it is a shash of it's a clean. So a simple shot is a clean. You have to come to really shoot this yakin and keep this no pasta like that, any legal quip on this. However, one thing you can say is that might depend on the circumstance. If it would be the same as the feedback, that's why I'm not putting it on the board. Let's say you're not trying to strain out the liquid with solid. You're serving yourself coleslaw. The coleslaw has a little liquid in it. You know what? Whoever's house is putting a slotted spoon. When you take a little slotted spoon, two drops are going to fall out. You know, not that you're trying to separate it. Okay, but it's the same as the tea bag, then it's really mother because the truth is that And let me say even better. A lot of slotted spoons, this might depend on what kind of slotted spoon. But if you have a small slotted spoon, maybe that's also the head of the house and the teapot, perhaps. Right? Which is that it's only made for the altar. Right? If, let's write if the heter is that a kli ha'osli liver lecho la'alter is not called a kli. So
I would say the same thing. If someone's using a slotted spoon, let's say a slotted service spoon, the home that's only made for la'alter, you use it to serve things at the table and to strain them when you're about to eat them. So maybe that would be a heter. Maybe that the heter of the chazan is by teapot. It's a not such a great heter because chazan should be required by teapot, and we're not even sure what's what he meant. So there's maybe a little bit of people use a slotted spoon like because to actually separate things. However, if you're using it to serve yourself and just two drops pull out that you don't intend to happen and you really don't care about it at all, then that's totally mutter, because of the feedback for slotted serving spoon. Again, what am I trying to say? The same stream of drainage. The most behavior is just to use a non-slotted spoon for anything that's solid and liquid, some money from. If the person put out a solid slotted spoon, you have no other spoon, you know, or whatever. Yeah, there's a slotted spoon there. And you're not trying to bring the spoon solid. You're just taking it, a drop will fall out accidentally, you know, as you serve yourself. But you're not like trying to strain it. Then the acre is a sponsor, because maybe the heter of the positive, and then the slotted picarcinin, which is your transporting things, and agave, a drop falls out, and that's not a problem. However, if you're modish, pitching through and trying to get out the solid liquid, or sometimes people do a thing of cocoa, they pick up the slotted spoon and they wait for it to drip out and get drier, then that's probably us, sir. It's better to you know, something. You don't like to go from Mahalo Shabbat, but the simple shot is that it is utter, and therefore one should be machmir not to use a slotted spoon like actually strain. If it's just going to accidentally strain a drop, then that's utter. And the best thing is just to use a slotted spoon.
Is ready? The heter of the taking out a tea bag quickly, is right. Do we then have to pass in the problem which they mean in? Is that it's about taken as opposed to a brother sound? Because if the Rebbe seems to be assuming if you don't really care, you're just taking it out, meaning in this chazanit, if you don't really care and you're just taking it out, or with the slotted spoon, if it just happens to be there, then it might be fine because you know you don't really care and it's just you draft. But if we don't pass in that the issue which they mean in is about taken, when we pass in it's just like being mastered or something like that, then it wouldn't make a difference for your kavanah.
It's true. It's a good question. What the heter by karchinin, right? What the heter by karchinin? But there's a heter in there. So either it could be that bulgur is one of those things that depends on what you think and has an intellectual element. And you at least have to think that you care about something for being off the ground. Or maybe it's a heter secretion gul nicholai, although here, that's a possible nicholai. I'd say the simple shot is that it might be that it's just not considered both. I'll say one of two things. None of the Achronim bother to explain this heter version. But I would say the one is one of two things. Either number one, regardless of whether you want or don't want, you have to have in mind that you want them separate, or else it's not called bunker. Forget about what you like, what you don't like, what you consider, what you don't consider. If you don't have in mind you want them separate, then it's not considered bunker. Bunker is the tnai that you separate things that you want to be separate. Or you could just say, it's not called a maisa borer if you're doing something else and the borer happens incidentally. It's a special heter that there's some math in that if there are preparations, it's going to come down to the same. Maybe it's going to come down to the same thing. Okay, so let's say, but you're right, it's a chiddush. Again, I would have said it, but not for the Gemara. Okay, let's just, like, one other thing. Big controversy. Oh my gosh, big controversy. Ramosa says totally other. Rice in the salt shaker. Raise your hand if you put rice in your salt shaker. Raise your hand if you want to put rice in your salt shaker, but you don't because of Shabbos. Okay, I guess we live in the door. That was a half hand. We live in the door where we don't put rice in our salt shakers anymore. It probably depends on your living conditions. Why do people use put rice in the salt shakers? Right, the same reason that you put your cell phone in rice. If it falls in the, you know, if it falls in the soda pool, right? Because rice has amazing power to be chili mayim.
right? It's like the double current fight. I mean, it's amazing power to distill everything. I mean, it's something amazing, right, to just absorb water. I mean, you see this. Anyone ever cook, right? Right? There's nothing else like this when you cook, right? You take, let me give you an example. You take some meat, totally dry, you cook it in a pan, and all of a sudden it became liquid, right? Half this liquid, right? That's what most things do. Or the same thing. Take a bunch of potatoes. If you roast them dry, they stay dry. If you cook them in water, you want to, you know, cook potatoes, then they stay, there's potatoes in water. Rice, anyone know the recipe for rice? This is one of the few things I know in cooking. Yeah. One of the like eight things I know about cooking. That the rest of the rice is open to so easy. The recipe for rice is 2-to-1. However much rice you have, put twice as much water, cook it. And when you're done, there's no water, it's all rice. And that's rice. It's an amazing thing. So why do people put rice in their salt shaker? So far, there's no core content yet, just mata. And that's why you put your cell phone in rice when it falls in the swimming pool, because it gets all the water out of the cell phone into the rice. Okay. In some places, there's a lot of humidity in the air. People are afraid, well, maybe now there's a bit of chemicals like salt, I don't know. Anyway, if there's a lot of you put salt in your salt shaker. If there's humidity in the air, you're afraid the humidity will get into your salt shaker. And anyone ever is supposed to happen to you once. If accidentally you spill a drink and it goes to the salt shaker, goes to the hole of the salt shaker, what happens to the salt inside? It clumps. Because liquid makes it clump. If there's humidity in the air, the salt will clump the salt shaker. So what do people do? They put a grain of rice in the salt shaker, and then there's any humidity. Again, one grain is just humidity in the air, absorbs the rice, absorbs it, and the grain falls and clump. Brilliant. And but aren't you going to get rice in your food when you put salt? No, the salt shaker has holes in it, and that keeps the rice inside. So if you have rice in your salt shaker, that's not restraining. You're straining the salt from the rice. Now you're putting on salt to eat out there. And you're taking the whole pill of the salt from the pill with the rice. But nonetheless, using a cleat, it's not a strainer. That's all it. They can put the holes for the sake of straining, but it's not a strainer. So, can you use a salt shaker with rice? For both the findings said, you cannot use a salt shaker with rice. It's not that your smoker. It's quoted in his Talmidim. He says, you can't use a salt shaker with rice. Rabbi Eider quotes Rav Moshe that you can't use a salt shaker with rice. Just don't put rice in your salt shaker if you're from good. Unless you have a Vachdik salt shaker and a Shabbistik salt shaker. Then you're very from good. Right? If you're so holy and you're a Shabbistik, then put rice in a Vachdik salt shaker. Okay, but most of us are not necessarily in that Madriga. Most of us are not that Madriga or even if we have some fancy things, but we entertain a lot also. Like we'll let people vote them on Shabbos. The silver one and the regular one. Anyway, Lemaisa, however, Rav Moshe says author, and the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chata, discussed this in two places. One of them is Gimel Samach Vav. He says, if you have salt in your salt shaker, it would be tov not to use it. It would be better not to use it. But he quotes from Tamazor, not so positive. Because the heter, the chav, and the tzipah should apply here. Whatever the heter was, if the heter was, you only use it for the altar, the salt shaker, you only use for the altar. Meaning, you have a different salt thing you use for like cooking stuff you need tomorrow, but not the salt shaker that you put on your table. Like that's the big salt thing that you pour out of. The salt thing you put on your table, you only use the altar. And if the heter is good, if really the tzipah for pouring, it's just incidentally have a strainer, salt shaker also. It's really the reason the salt shaker is important for pouring out just to pour out salt so you don't get too much salt in the pot. It's not really for straining, it's just incidentally for the rice in it. So really, the salt shaker should depend on the composition of the tzipah. If you hold the composition of the tzipah, then it should be mother. And if you don't hold the composition of the heter of the tzipah, then it should be opposite the cleat. The mitzvah of remote the answers. The former Dominic quotes the photos that being matched. Better to avoid the issue. But I said, my humble opinion, better to avoid the issue. But if you go to a place that's salt and salt shaker, you think it might be salt and salt shaker. You have the right to the salt shaker. Whatever. Then you can still, then there's certainly room to be made, certainly much to rely on because of the Chazon Ish. So,
there is room to be made, but there's a job to be better to be machmir and like for most of my students.
For all the reasons we gave the kippah, we didn't just give this
reason. We said two possible reasons. Either one, it's only made for some altar, so it's like a yad, right. Or because it's real function of the main function of the kli is for pouring tea, just incidentally on the strainer. Here also, the main function of the salt shaker is to shake the salt, right? You mean no mean the salt shaker to strain out rice, right? That's not the function of the kli. So the chora, whatever the heter of the teapot is, should apply here. The Chazanich thought it was totally mutter l'chatchila, but
one wouldn't go get teapot.
I'm right. I would say that it's better to be machmir. It's better to be machmir. Yes. All the manvi's first beer talk, Bill Kofim or Rimon, etc. say it's better to be machmir, even though one can be made. So one can. Well, the rice is not. It's good to be machmir. Certainly, if you don't eat the rice, it's good to be machmir. I don't know why. Maybe we have less humidity. No one puts rice nowadays, or maybe.
I do, but I have a weekday.
You do on the weekday? Oh. Well, I wonder if they just have some chemical they put in the salt to keep it from pumping. Or maybe we just don't have humidity. The truth is that in your life, there's no humidity. I wonder what people in Tel Aviv. Right? I wonder if people in Tel Aviv from
North.
Yeah, Vinebra. Yeah, right. Sorry. I shouldn't have said Tel Aviv. You didn't look at the it could be in July they don't have, because there's no humidity in July, but in Vinebra, maybe they do have. Okay, so
you're not really doing it. It goes its time.
And you mean on Shabbos, you've never noticed the problem?
Yeah, no, we use a different one on Shabbos.
But on the Shabbos one, the thought works the
fine. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, good.
They put in something else.
What?
They have to put in something else.
Yeah, so it could be we have better chemicals, and that's why the rice is not so necessary. But you have to put a zebra, like if they need rice in their salt shaker, because I wonder, it's very easy. There's no humidity in the light. I just wonder what it's like in Nebra. But the company doesn't put a better chemical now. I don't know what's fault. I'm pretty sure I thought they might have invented a chemical now to keep salt from pumping. Because it really is amazing how my salt never pumps.
Sugar also.
And the sugar also never pumps. Correct. Okay, Victor. I think that's everything I wanted to mention right now. I think that's what I wanted to mention. So let's go by. Of course, we also have to talk about back on this whether a spoon is a kli, which so far we're assuming not, because that's what Rosh says, just something you use to hold things, but we'll see it'll be more complicated. Okay, let's go by. We're up to Tesvav. Tesvav. It's this random Mishnah of something that I think they ran, which is from our perspective, it's something that we have no idea what they're talking about, just because we don't do that anymore in our kitchens. The Mishnah was being very, very clear at this moment every day for it. And it's we who just don't know the Mishnah they were talking about. So we think we don't even know what they mean. Whatever they mean is crazy. But they were just talking about everyday life then. We don't have this life. So what does it mean? A strain that you strain the mustard in, you're certainly not offering mustard on Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah. That's draining, but so look at Ochel, the mustard comes with good and bad parts. But you already strained the mustard. Then you put an egg in it. Again, let's not ask from our experience with eggs. Obviously, they had their techniques that we're not familiar with. The Gemara says, no debate on the Sanit of Shel Kargo. You can put an egg in the chargal, in the chargal strain. It's a fundamental machlokot. It means the Rambam, they point out, the Rambam has a different shot here. The Rambam said it's not about separating the two colors, the two parts of the egg. That you put the egg, you whip the egg a little, and you put it in the chargal, and someone helped me out here knows how to cook. When you put an egg in something, it helps clarify that thing somehow. It helps like clarify the cargo when you put an egg in it. What? No. Anyway, okay, I'm not getting into it. The Rambam has a different shot. He said that you're not straining anything. The strainer, the red herring. He said you're just putting egg, like beating an egg into cargo. When you beat an egg into something, it makes it clearer and separates out the impurities a little. And that's what.
Okay, I don't understand the theft. We'll leave that. Let's go with what everyone else says. What does everyone else say? No, it means you're straining the egg. You're straining the whites from the yolk, right? And here, they got that some technique that I'm not familiar with, because if you just pour an egg into a strainer, what will go down first, the yolk or the albumin?
I think the egg white.
So that's what I also thought, but then at the end of the show, no.
The hard thing, they pop the egg yolk, so the egg yolk is thinner once you pop it.
The yolk, is thinner. Okay, so if you pop the yolk, it's thicker. But if you pop the yolk, it's thinner. Good, I knew there must be some crap. Okay, and the yolk went through, and the albumin, the whites, stayed on top, right? And that's mucker. Why is that mucker? That seems like... That's like flap and blower. You have two things, and you're trying to strain one from the other using a strainer. Ah, so maybe you could call it one bin. So here's the question of why is this mucker? So is this two mina, right? Is this one bin or two mina? And why is it mucker? So what's funny is everyone says why is it mucker? Right? Why is it mutter? Says the Magaroko, the Torah, one of the early Rishonim, because it's mutter because the white and yellow are equal. The white and yellow are equal. You might have thought, what's our half meter? Again, this is all based on Rishonim. This is all based on Rishonim. I'll come back to your point. Let's say it a little better. Why is there a heter? Why is there a heter here? So the Magen Avraham quotes in the Magen Mishnah, right? He says, or rather says in the Magen Mishnah, the Shema Magen Mishnah, Makna de Mikri Min Echad, it's called one min. It's mutter because it's one min. After all, egg is an egg, it's one min. And one min has no Isser of Borer. So what's the Havamina? Says the Havamina is, says the Magen Avraham, Havamina is a chelbon very soulless came shin royal okwaka. Ka machma one. So what is the Havamina? Maskana? So says the Magen Avraham Bidda'at Hamagin Mishnah. The Havamina is that the white is soulless. Why is the Havamina the white is soulless? Because You don't, well, no. The Havamina says the white is still a goat. It's still a, okay. More space.
Whatever they need, it's one min out there. How many does that have?
How many men have a mean lesser? Right? So number one is the Magen Avraham Bidas the Magen Mishnah. I'm going the opposite order here. Is that it's one min. If it's one min, what's the Havamina after? The Havamina is that the yellow is edible because it's going to color the mustard. Like everyone else says, why are you straining it? The yellow is colored in the mustard. The Havamina is that the yellow is also colored in the mustard. The white is so that's because you can't eat it. Oh, you can eat it if you cook it. Then you can cook it now. Right? It's common. So that the Havamina lesser is that the white is inedible now. The yellow is edible because it mixes with the mustard. And the white is inedible because who eats raw ripe eggs? Right, how much polar? No. It's all Ochel and one min. That's the Magen Mishnah. However, that's what the Magen Avraham said to the Magen Mishnah. But what is the Magen Mishnah say? What does the Magen Avraham say in the name of the Bach and the Levut? In the name of the Bach and the Levut, they say different. No. Magen Avraham, the shame, and he's putting after the Bach, Levush. He says, it's two minim. So what's the Havamina? The Havamina of being two minim is that one you want and one you don't want. So it's light will go soulless.
It's like ochel utsolet, because you want to eat the yolk only. You want to eat the yolk, you don't want to eat the white. So therefore it's like ochel utsolet. Because you want one more than the other. Kamashtu, as he said, no. It's a big fish. The finish is, since you only want the color, that's not chashuv. One is not more chashuv than the other, because kamash one is that, no, that color is not chashuv. So the white and the yolk are equal, because color is not chashuv. That's a big finish. The color is not chashuv. Why do we call it chashuv? The whole industry is a dye, right? You buy food color in the supermarket for good money. They don't call it not chashuv. Now, what do they call it not chashuv? They say they're both ochel. That gets a little, they're both equally ochel. Color is not chashuv. They're both equally ochel. Said the Mishnah Berurah earlier, said there's a chashiva, the Prima God, and that first is part of the Torah and the Rosh, who said the problem to me is that one is ochel, one is chol, they're both ochel. What are the problems? That the problem to me is just kamina. And if you're not like the Magen Mishnah, he says, maybe they're both called Tolis. If all the white here is thrown out, and the yellow is just going to disappear and provide coloring to the mustard. That's also Tolis. Right? So either they're both Ochel, or they're both Tolis. If you recall our Chakira from Sif Bays, I think about it, if you say the problem with Jane Nina is that one is Ochel, one is Tolis, maybe they're both Ochel or Tolis. If you say the problem with Jane Nina is that two Nina are upper, even if they're both Ochel, say they're both Tolis, and they're more of Tolis. The big thing, that even though one is a useful dye and one is not, we're so not mocked. Okay, good mustard for all, right? Don't be mocked with worse. That good mustard for all is not be mocked with worse. I have to tell you a mustard from last week's market, more than the yellow said. That one of my yates and yes, I'm no sorry. Why is that important? Right? He went out to Bel Mitzvah. Says nowadays people need a shidduch. What do they do? They're old. Maybe they're 40 years old and they don't have a shidduch yet. What do? They go to this the guy for a school, and they go to this person for a school, they pay money to this, they do that. Says, what if there's only one school if you're 40 and you need to get married? Down to Hashem. Says one of the schools getting earned down to a okay, good mustard from last week. Anyway, getting back to the mustard from this week, Halakha, that what we see, not heard by Mishra. Heard by Mishra was saying, don't say one is useful, one is garbage. They're both useful. They're useful in different ways. If they're both useful in different ways, and they're one meaning, then it's no problem to Mishra. Whatever the Bacha of Bush is between meaning, there's two meaning, and one is a useful die, and the other one you throw in the garbage. Nonetheless, we consider them to be not more useful than each other because books are not important, and therefore the book of Elwood, in my mind, the Rambam says here, or the Baker of Lachat says earlier, maybe the book told us. Okay, there is a third shot, which is the Taz, because remember the Taz actually thought that in one min there is Borer, even in one min. So the Taz here in this long Tefkutin, Yudvei says they're min Echad. Says they're min echad, that even ochel toch ochel min echad, there is breira, because what you want now is more important than what you don't want now. So then he says, since it's just giving color, therefore it's not considered ochel. So let's say the tad, because he has a different assumption. One min, but this is daf yachid. But borer is shaya b'min echad. Hav b'mina is that it's like ochel upsoles, because you want the yolk more. Kamashbolan, the same kamashbolan, etc. Okay, but Tav just what you thought that you think that borer is big piece of fish, small piece of fish. You want some now, and you want the rest later. Say anytime, because color is not hot. So the Taz only for the sheep is yachid. Sheep is yachid, Bor is tracked in Echad, this is sheep is yachid in Sif Beis, I think it was, or Gimel, Sif Gimel. This is sheep is yachid, Le'el, Sif Gimel. Bisip Gimel. According to the main sheep sock, there's no more than one min. But either they the having is that it's one min, but it's managed so much. Managed garbage. Not garbage. Or you say two min. You know, basically, if it's one min, then the having is more dog. Oh, the wife is inedible, even though you really could eat it. Come on, well, it's one min. If it's two min, then the having is lost. That's two min. You want one to eat with your buster now, and the other one you're probably going to garbage or save indefinitely. If it's only being eaten, we're using for the color of the mustard, that's not considered to be more desirable than the whites.
If it's one thing, how do they explain the Gemara that it's only legame, only for the color? What's that going to do with it?
One second. That is a good
no, I think it's
the Master Shekel. Yeah, the Master Shekel said that he's a little mixed. He said, oh, it's only for color means the only reason we mix it with the mustard is for color, for really don't think it's so left. And that's why we mix it until we get rid of it in the fire. Well, it's really over the cargo for color, but it's really over. Bit of a dog. Don't think it's all good. So that really, it's also. Don't think of so that if you wouldn't mix it with the cargo. No, it's overly, you don't mix it with the cargo. You only mix it with the cargo for color. It's a dog job. Maybe there's a better job, but that's not such a good. Okay, let's go, Biker. 16. Pepai. Mine people the line. That has cocoa pods, right? What do we do? We discuss the ones. Let's say for sure upper, totally upper water. Let's say you hold the water in your city's totally upper. Muckle Stoltan Aliday Mafa Bishabis. You can drink it through a cloth on Shabbos. Now, like you can also cloth the cloth in your mouth and drink through it. Dvoshayak Borer Misharmer El Mitakin and Kodamakan Lushiv. It's only called Borer Misharmer, Misharmer training. If before you actually eat or drink it, you separate it all. And the shock the amount of souls for the concept. If at the moment you're drinking, you just keep the souls from getting to your mouth, ain't the main malacha, that's not malacha, that's achila and it's mutter, means the heter of nitma alter, of achila mash. The heter of achila mash. If I keep restraining something, that's not a problem. And also, if I put that up here, even if I put a cloth, that's also not a problem. But Torah, they invented this thing I mentioned, right, for sub Saharan Africa, where they had diseases from the water. There's the straw that you drink through the straw from the river and it keeps out the diseases. Well, sorry, that would be the same happen. Even though the straw is not on your mouth, but it's as you drink it, it goes through the straw. Of course, that would be the same happen.
You spread out a water bottle.
Oh, there are clear water bottles where it gets filtered as it goes through your mouth?
Yeah, and you drink.
Okay. Now, besides the fact that you would drink it without the drink, so even if you wanted, so that would be the heter. Okay, this is not such a bit. I mean, it's a finish. It doesn't say it's in the Gemara. It's most finish. Oh, that was really achiva. It can't be called. After all, why isn't it tokening to do your food? Basically, what's really part of the achiva. So, that's where to draw the line. I'll just mention something that I'll cover something. Comes up here. That how about there's la'alter. La'alter means in that meal, right? Or preparing that meal, right? And that's mutter if it is biyad and ochel mitoktolis. Then there's while you're drinking, that's what you eat the cleats, why don't you drain it? How about in between? How about the moment before you put it in your mouth, right? I take the seed out of the watermelon and then take a bite. It's not as I'm eating, not in the mice of eating. If the mice of eating would be, I put the watermelon in my mouth and with my teeth. With my teeth separating instead of the pits. Okay, that's about this. How about right before, what they call miyad lepem, right before putting my mouth? That was my book earlier. I'll just remind us of, is there a heter of right before I put it in my mouth? So I'll remind us that there that was the first beer halacha in Sif Dalid, who quotes the Mari Abolafia was Mekel, and he thought many Rishonim were Mekel, that, not Ligam, right? But at least told us the Tom Oka was okay right before it went in my mouth. And therefore,
Solus Kintov Ochel is okay right before I put it in my mouth. It's a little kula of right before. So we have three dargas. What are three dargas? Four dargas, right? What are the four dargas? One is Bishas Achila. Mutter Afilu Bikli. Three is Le'alter. Mutter Binyad Ochel Mitop Solus. Four is La'achardman. Everything's altered, right? La'achardman, everything's altered. La'alter meaning the meal. We know one of the three conditions. You need the other two conditions. And you're drinking, you don't need to even strain it through a cloth. Is there an in-between? Is there something called miyad lepeh? Not with your mouth. Not in your mouth or on your mouth, but as you're about to put in your mouth, super la'alter, but not quite as much as it's struck. This is the shrub in the fifth webinar. That was about both in Rabbi Yehalafia and Marita. The way that Rabbi Yehalafia understood and Rabbi Yehalafia understood that the Ramban of the Rani agreed with Rabbi Yehalafia. This is the first Rabbi Yehalafia in Sifdalid, right? The Ramban called Habor Solet, although the second, no, really the whole first one. He says, well, from us it sounds like only mamish while you're drinking is okay, not right before. Not right before you drink. But he says that, says the Bir Halakha, Mahari Abulafya, the ode, say, Mutter, and he assumes even the Kli, even though their example is, Afilu Solet, Mitok Ochel, and the Mahari Tats, says, nope, it's Shabbat to case number three. It's the same as for Ula Alpha. You need all the conditions. So basically, while you're drinking, you don't need conditions. If it's right before you put in your mouth, the Mari Olafia says you can take Solus from the hotel, and we're allowed to understand even think you go to straight it with a clean. Right. And you think they're on the run, and you agree, but you think this Shulchanara disagrees, because it says only as you're drinking it, not right before you drink it. If it's within the meal, you know it's a and here, the Shavur said in the long one, he didn't pop to here, but in the long one of the next year, a long one about those of the fish, because those would be lines, Mari Olafia, you know, we don't have to object to them, like it's what, you know, something we cook, et cetera, but certainly the Kachila, we don't rely on it. So this, we do rely on the Kachila, this, really, even though there is some limos cook, certainly if you have other studim lohakel, for those who rely on the Mari Olafia, but lamaita, we generally assume like the Mari Tat, that there's no special heker, but those who rely on it, certainly there's other studim lohakel, have what to rely on. So for example, if someone's eating watermelon, wants to take a seed out of the watermelon, then it could be there's a heker if there's no other choice to just you can do it by altar, but they do it right before they take a bite, then that's even better. Then they have another time of
water. So we would suggest that people can drain coffee or something like that, right into their cup and then drink it.
According to the Mishnah Brewer, it sounds like the Maria Balafia would make a lot of that. Because what does he say? He says the Shulchan Aruch sounds like not the Maria Balafia. He just says most of the food in your mouth. He doesn't say it's most of the food right before you drink it. Flying Mario Blocky to Blocky to right where he gets. Perhaps. But what we'll say is that that's a bigger stretch because Mario Blocky himself didn't say the head of straining. He said the head of solar cell oil. And it could be monotonic. Now, if he didn't say it, I mean, the girl also would assume that way, but he assumed that way rejecting it. So it's a very funny. He's saying, look, it sure wasn't that case. Okay, let's just quickly finish up what we have to discuss here. We don't have much more. Says the Shulchan Tech, Dain, you just read. Head Dain, you sure ultimate the flying soup, but we already discussed that. What Dain? Hamekabes, hold up for whom Mekabes is a hold up for. No one knows what Mekabes means. Who wrote the parentheses that the parish all the words?
It was not grandmother. Grandmother did not write the parentheses of the first word. The printer did. He used the printer. Did. He usually took it from the paper. Aruch Alo, different places. Multi kema min achalav. Check clearly that multi kema min achalav. What do you mean? Multi kema min achalav. It seems to be in the paper Aruch that it may actually make butter. How do you make butter? You know, if you churn it, you can make butter, and I guess if you would churn milk instead of cream. If you churn cream, you get butter. If you churn milk, then somebody becomes butter and some of it doesn't. Buttermilk, okay. Anyway, somehow you take butter out. It's not exactly here. You just scoop out butter that's already churned, or you churn the butter. The Mishnah Berurah points out a few other people, right? Says Mishnah Berurah, what does it mean? He says, "B'chein," and likewise, but he doesn't mean "and likewise." I just think he's smart. And likewise, these are other Rishonim's pirush of the word "mechabit" in the Gemara. The Rambam says it means you put the enzyme in the milk to curdle it, right? You know, you make cheese. Remember from those in Jordan, know all about rennet. If you just drop this enzyme in the milk and it starts solidifying the solid parts and liquefying the liquid parts, so that's separating the two halves of the milk. And then some people say. That's Rashi. Rashi is mama straining. It's that in part of the cheese-making process, you take the curd and you strain out the liquid from that. So that's obviously straining is a kind of borer. The Rambam says putting in an enzyme that separates things is a kind of borer, big shiddish, even though you just dropped in an enzyme. And the pirush of the mechaber, which is based on the Aruch. The Aruch is the one, say for Aruch is the one who says, you could look it up in the Aruch under Chabetz, is the one who says it means something about butter. It's something about separating out the butter. You know, which exactly what he means is not clear. So that is a kind of borer. Here it's a little funny, I must admit, because the lefikach is not from the Gemara. The lefikach really sounds like rough, like you're just straining, right? If you think about it, it's about putting in a enzyme or like separating out butter, how does the lefikach flow? But if you take Rashi pears that's straining the liquid out of the curds, what you do is you take the curds and you squirt them. And then you get out the liquid and become more solid. Then it makes more sense. What does it mean? You can put shumshum and gozum in dvash, but you can't squirt them together to like squirt the dvash out and get the solid. Okay, that is a kind of borer. I forgot something else. Okay.
I think you really can't take out the shumshum and dvash.
And then it would be like, perhaps. Okay, either way. Lemaisa, there's a big discussion here that just I'll make two haros, and then one thing I forgot, and then we'll be done in a few minutes. The Mishnah Berurah says, likewise, there's another way you can curdle without rennet. If you apply heat to something, it will curdle a little. You can't do that. You can't curdle milk. He also points out there's a septum of Abraham who says, putting nuts and stuff into honey is a problem of lush, kneading, because you're taking particles and a liquid that sticks them together, and you're making them them sticky. Maybe it's kneading, it's a problem of wash.
Right, there's a problem of burning.
What?
Burning. What? Curdling?
No, it's when you make the cheese after you curdle it, curdling seems, well, it's not clear. The Rambam says dropping the rennet is booger. Afterwards, when you then pack the cheese and put them together and make them hard, that's booger. Anyway, Kipper, is it a problem of lush to split together these nuts and everything and make them like a mass stuck together by dvash? Because after all, you're making a bunch of particles stuck together by a liquid. So maybe that's lush. The Mishnah Berurah is matmer on this in Samech Vav, that the Septa says, is it Samech Vav? In Samech Dalid. He says it might be locked, and therefore you shouldn't do it even if you want to eat it while there, because it might be locked, because you're squirting together particles by sticking them together with the bosh. And he even says, look, but don't even mix them into the bosh without squishing, because that's also locked. Okay, we'll get to locked. One thing I forgot, I'll just mention very, very, very briefly, which is back in Tezayin. Why isn't an Isser of Libun if you're drinking through a cloth? You're drinking water through a cloth. Mayim through a cloth, isn't that Libun? So the Magen Avraham says, no problem. The Magen Avraham says, I remember the Bach focus, it's been 10 days, whether
when a clean clothing is libun or not. Mother says no problem for clean clothes, so there's no problem of libun.
What about Mr. Brewer who paskin that in submission days we should be machber even on clean cloth? Look at Pila. So could we be makel? Can we be makel here? So the Mishnah Berurah said, yes, because we have a paper. What's our paper? One paper is a bra that says that, but the girl's all things going in a bra. It said, if you wet a cloth not intending to clean it, that's not libun. Okay, that's similar to if it's already clean, then you don't intend to clean it, that's not libun. He says the El Yorab. The El Yorab is a very big fetish. She doesn't like it. The El Yorab says, no, it's only libun to wet a clean cloth if you're wetting the whole thing. You're putting your mouth, you're only wetting like 1 inch of it that's on your mouth. That's not libun. It's a big fetish. Who cares if it's 1 inch or 10 inches? Says the Mishabura, if you're stuck, you can drink the cloth on clean cloth on Shabbat. The Seira, maybe all clean cloth. Start off there. And maybe the El Yorab is right that if you just wet a little, then it's okay. Okay, so if you're stuck, he's makeup. He also, they not go up with why is it you might wring it out, you might just see that's the back of the problem. That's what he said. If you only got 1 inch to it wet, you're not going to wring it out. But once you're sweet, don't even sweet, because then you'll probably wring it out in 1 inch. Okay, last halakha. Says the Ramah, big fish of the Yerushalmi. Remember what the Yerushalmi said about Zorah Barakni, the lumbus we start from Egg Lake Tal, says the Yerushalmi, Haroki, Baruch, the Shabbos, Baruch, and Father, Haroki, you spit in the wind on Shabbos, and the wind scatters your spit. You scatter the wind, Chayim Mishim Zora. Is that, you don't go right to Zora, because scattering the wind is Zora. Okay, that's a big Chumrah. That's a big Chumrah, this Ramah. Says Rabbi Yekiva Eger, it's right here, so it's going to be a Lacha. He says, no, we don't talk about this Ramah for four reasons. The main reason is because the Egli Tal. Rabbi Eger didn't know the Egli Tal. He said, this is my point about the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi thinks the Avalach of Zorah is scattering the wind. The Bavli thinks the Avalach of Zorah is using the wind to bore it. When you spit scatter the wind, you're not being the borrower of one kind of spit to another kind of spit. Zorah is you throw the wind and it separates the hop from the grain. It's only Zora is a kind of Bora. So that was the hanging Zora, hanging Bora, hanging Meraki. If Zora is the same as Bora and Meraki, it's only time you're separating good from bad. Not that you're scattering spit. So therefore, Rabbi Yekiva Eger says there's four reasons we don't agree with the Frama. What are the four reasons? Number one, the Bavli Cholek Al HaYerushalmi. That's the main reason. If you're Yerushalmi, the latter thinks that Zora means scattering the wind. But the Bavli said, hanging Bora, hanging Zora, hanging Meraki, that Zora is a kind of Bora. So if you're not separating good from bad, it's no problem. Then he throws in another Tavla Hakel, which is the truth is he doesn't bring down all these Tavla Hakel. He quotes a short Rabbi Kiva Eger, who brings down other Tavla Hakel, but he also separates Lo Nifale. After all, usually when you throw some, when you scatter some liquid in the wind, we aren't just trying to scatter it. It's not that you're trying to get your spit all over. You're just spitting, and the wind scatters it. Even if you pour water out your window, and the wind scatters it. You're not trying to scatter the water. That's just what happens. But the great goal, Nicolai, should be no problem. Anyway, then he throws in another tablet that says, if you're pouring water, maybe Zora only applies to be duly karka. Water is not completely karka. Although even spit is not completely karka, because people eat off the land. So that's not such a big tabla hakel. Those are the main sudden le hakel. He also says here, says where he gave Adra by us. And I never saw anyone machmer at this because you're not mistabling a kolshkin in derech ria by kach. That's not the derech of zorah. Maybe it wasn't not the derech of zorah. I don't know what he means by that exactly. Maybe it means bother rather than shalom. These are the main two sudden le hakel. That the Greek Lo Nichole and that the Bavli are in the Shami. He also calls a very clever Alpha Menashe. It's a very Topolish Alpha Menashe who says that the Yerushalmi never meant what the Yerushalmi meant is that very Topolish. Someone who spits in the wind and it goes Dalit Amos and the Paravim on purpose is Chayav. And if you say he's not Chayav to the wind and it's not him, we use Zohar to prove that if you use the wind, you're still Chayav. But they didn't mean it was an Avalach of Zohar. They just meant Zohar was going Nosa, that wind counts and it's an Avalach of Hosa. Okay, that's a very big that's a very big kiddush. But these are what are other subtle lahakel. The hagol for Rabbi Kiva Eger says lav derech zriya. The kach, that's not the way of zriya.
The Shtut Rabbi Kiva Eger says sometimes it's not Kiduli Karko, which is a very slim side of a Hakel. Maybe something. Lav Gidule Karka, or rather Ainsri Alam Gidule Karka, that's the Shtut Rabbi Kiva Eger. Shtut Rabbi Kiva Eger adds, you know, Ainsri Alam Gidule Karka. And then there's that very cool Polish Alpe Menata, who says the Yerushalmi never meant it. Okay, he gives a helpful that the Yerushalmi never meant it. Okay, I'm not so inclined to accept it. I think the Yerushalmi follows that. It's not. Lamaita, we hold like a Yerushalmi, no one closer to the Brahma. It's no problem to spit in the wind. And even if you want to be Machmir, let's say you want to say, well, I want to be Machmir if it's mutilated on purpose by Havana. Right? So even running a macro of a kavana, but no one ever tries to throw things in the wind to scatter them to kavana. It's just not a common thing. Unless, what if you shake your tablecloth into the wind? If you shake your tablecloth into the wind, then you want it to all scatter in the wind, right? Maybe that's more like the Yerushalmi, but even that, we are not choshesh for this. What? Yeah, I'm saying. So we're not, but according to Yerushalmi, it doesn't matter. According to Yerushalmi, if no, because the tablecloth is not considered tarobas with the crumbs. We are making on this. And the mice were makeful on that. And certainly, if you like spritz with an aerosol can, let's say you spritz with deodorant or something, that's for sure no chach. It's not using wind, it's using compressed air. And even your shawl is only not for the wind. You said it was not for compressed air. So the mice, we're not supposed to do your shawl. And therefore, the post going to tell us Pesach thing. What do you do if you're coming and shot at air Pesach and you can't burn it? No problem scattering the wind. And we're not worried about Zohar. But likewise, you can shake your tablecloth out even on a windy day, and we're not worried about Zohar. We're not kosher for this Yerushalmi, even if you don't hold the sudden log, we're not kosher for this Yerushalmi against the Rambam. The Minhag is not like the Rambam. Okay, I think that's about all for Zohar Bar Merakid. Beretz Hashem, we'll pick up on Tuesday with Toki. Beretz Hashem.
The Zohar would only apply if it's a